What's going on, guys? James Camacho here. This is Kicking It with Camacho. Guys, thank you so much for watching. Currently, we are at 2,398 watch hours of my goal of 4,000, guys. So please keep liking. Please keep watching. Please keep subscribing. Why don't you just do a bunch of cocaine and watch the podcast on repeat? That would be great. You know what's sad? I have my buddy Kevin here joining me this week. You know what's sad? My special's coming out. I think we're doing it early May. Mm. And they're like, they're telling me all this shit. You want to set a premiere date? You want to get a thumbnail? You want, you know, make sure your page is set up for monetization? I'm just like, I don't have that yet. And they're just like, well, that's all right, buddy. That's all right. By the way, that's $1,500 for the last edit.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, oh my God. But yeah, guys, so on that note, please like, subscribe, share, comment, share with someone that you think might enjoy this ridiculousness. Please also for Patreon, patreon.com/JamesCamacho is $5 a month. You get a free episode every Friday. I say this every week. The fucking Patreon money really just goes back into better production for the podcast. So you're really just paying for the podcast, which is a kind of a weird thing to say. But yes, like, share, subscribe. Oh, on the socials, Instagram, TikTok, please go follow, please go like, and please come see me live this weekend. I'm going to be in Medford, Oregon at Chadwick's, unfortunately. and then Spokane, Washington, March 10th. That's fortunately. Albany, New York. Are you doing that with me?
You haven't asked. I'm down, though.
You want to drive up there? Maybe we can get drive up there.
Let's do it.
Albany, New York, March 24th. Please come out to that. And then New York City, the Fresh Mudblood slash working out show slash Kevin's also going to be on that show. That's at the Soho Playhouse, which sounds a lot grander than it actually is. So doesn't that give off the vibe like Soho House? Like this is
right,
exclusive.
Right, right.
Like I've made it. And, yep. No, it's about a 24-seat place.
It's in a basement.
It's next to the Comedy Cellar, if that gives it any more allure. But please get those tickets. There's not that many seats. I wasn't kidding. It's only about, like, what? Not 24, maybe 50 seats. So please get your tickets for that. And all right, enough soliciting. Is there anything else to solicit? That's it. Guys, we have here Kevin McLoyne. Kevin is officially the first recurring guest on my podcast series.
I'm honored.
This has been about, I've done about 200 podcasts, I think, and I haven't made a single, actually, no, the Patreon made a couple bucks, but yeah, you're here, I appreciate you coming, man. I've been, usually Thursdays, I'm just a kid. Today's Thursday, that's when I'm going to release this.
Okay.
Yeah, which is tomorrow, actually, but usually I do I'm just a kid, but I kind of told you earlier, people keep canceling. So you know, isn't that crazy? Isn't that rude to cancel? You know who I try to, because I've been trying to diversify the guests. I've been trying to have dudes and chicks.
Right.
The chicks always cancel.
Yeah,
always cancel.
Yeah,
dude. Do you feel that way? Like even if you book them, maybe if you don't book them on shows, but do you feel like the chicks are very flaky?
I could see that.
Yeah,
yeah.
Here's what I realized from being in a long term relationship, and now from dealing with women, just you know, in my work life. The girls, they only do things that they think they're going to get benefit out of. You know,
they
never put themselves in situations where it's just like, is it like they always? I think they have literally an assessment: is this worth it for me? What am I getting out of this? Nothing. I ain't fucking showing up.
Sure, know? Sure.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. You could get into the primal nature of that. You know, there's some of that, I guess, at play.
That's
right?
That's their, like, our instinct is like fight, whatever.
Fight, fuck.
They're more like, what's best for Jennifer, you know?
Right. What's best for Jennifer and her eggs.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. Well, if you think about like dating and stuff, it's like when they like, listen, guys go on dates, like they're more like, oh man, I'll get laid tonight. Girls are like, what am I going to get out of this?
Sure.
You know?
Sure. What's his credit score?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's his credit? Yeah. What's his credit score? What's his car? What's
right,
his job?
Right.
What's
right.
this? What's that? Does he have a boat? Like,
sure.
We're just like, look
and
at
I
that.
I even feel like the height thing, that's not even like a sexual attraction. That's just like a, oh, this is good to have in my arm. He's tall.
He
looks
can protect
good.
Me.
It looks good in pictures,
yeah.
I think. You know?
Listen, I could use this.
Right. Yeah. Right. I can wear heels with him. You know?
You know, also
it's functional.
Here's how I know I'm right. well, my ex and I were breaking up, she used to tell me, it's like, I'm not getting it. I'm not getting anything out of this relationship. I'm like, oh, I'm useless right. to you now.
Yeah.
Oh, there was a lot of bitterness behind that. All right. What's going on, Kev?
Nothing much, man. You know, no pressing life events. Couple tour dates coming up for Prohibition there.
Talk about it.
We'll be in Austin March 14th, and then we'll be in Columbus, Ohio, March 22nd, and then Pittsburgh the day after, March 23rd.
These are all one night things?
Yeah, one night things. I'll be down in Austin the night before, you know, checking out the scene a bit. And then I can't stay that weekend. I got my buddy's fucking wedding to go to.
Oh,
so,
God.
Yeah, disgusting.
When is that? Because that now that's now a chore, right? There's a certain age where you get a wedding.
It's a chore and it's a financial burden is what it is.
Dude, I haven't, because the first, I just started going to weddings like last year. I think I went to 4 or 5.
Yeah.
And it's still exciting. But my buddy's having one coming up in May, June. And, you know, I basically blocked off that weekend for work. And then, like, now without – I used to just go with my ex. Now I'm, like, probably going to go alone, or maybe I'll just hire someone to come with me. But, no, but it is just kind of, I'm going to get up there. I'm going to get a room. And, like, all this, financial burden. It's, like, before it was just, like, splitting it with someone. Now it's just, like, oh, goodness God.
Right. You know?
And then I got to get him a gift.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Oh, it sucks. It sucks. I mean, like, I'm in the wedding for this, so it was, like –
It sucks, you know, until, like, it's going down.
Yeah, yeah, I hope so. This is my first wedding I've ever been to. Yeah.
You've never been to one?
Never been to
one. You're already this jaded? You sound like you
didn't
know.
Oh, dude.
Oh, you're like, I got a wedding, God damn it.
Dude.
You're supposed to be
like
enjoying the first few.
I'm like $3,000 in the hole for this fucking
already?
Thing. Yeah.
Oh, this is like a best friend.
Destination, bachelor party, destination, wedding,
oh,
right?
Good God.
The flights, hotels, expenses.
Okay.
And then the gift on top of it, you know, it's really, it's tough. It's tough.
Yeah, you know what? I can see, because the last I went, the few weddings I've been to have all been Northeast. There was one in the Bay Area, but we had a place to stay, so it wasn't that much money lost. But yeah, if you're just going out for the whole week, like if there's no work involved, like going out for the whole week, no place to stay, like. Dude, yeah, that sounds rough, man.
Yeah.
It sounds like a World of Series comedy weekend. You know? You figure yourself out.
Yeah.
Sounds like a regular comedy festival weekend. Get out of here. Get for free.
Sure.
Yeah, yourself out. Put yourself up. Do 5 minutes.
Yeah. And listen to this. Not trying to get too controversial here, right?
Oh, but how else are we going to get
fucking
views? You know the algorithm?
So his fiance.
Okay.
One of her bridesmaids is a gay guy. And
bridesmaid.
So, yeah. So, you know, I guess that's, you know, it's that 2024.
Against,
that's you know.
Against definition, though.
Yeah. But
I'm just saying, definition wise, that's not right.
I guess 2024
How
wedding
can't
it's
be
cool.
A bride's groom or something.
Catholic wedding. Probably not going down.
Okay. So what kind of wedding is this?
So no. So I wasn't sure if, you know, the ceremony was going to be in a church. So we're each,
I wasn't sure this is legal. I was going to call the authorities.
We are. I mean, the wedding is in Florida, so I don't know if it's legal, but anyway, they like pair each groomsman with a bridesmaid, like for like, I don't know, walking down the aisle or something. I don't know.
Yes,
right?
No, yes, what you got to do.
Yeah. So they.
It's so funny, it's your first one. You're just saying, I think that's what they
do.
Think,
my buddy is pairing me with the male bridesmaid. And so I was like, is this going to be in a church? Like, personally, I don't give a fuck. But I was thinking, like, you know, if I'm in the church with the guy, am I going to be like looking up at Jesus on the cross, you know, kind of like avoiding eye contact?
Well, it depends on what you believe in, you know?
Yeah, well,
if you don't believe that, then it's not.
No,
but everyone else, they may be.
I don't believe that, but what if Jesus does? Like, what if Jesus, he is not going with the times.
Right.
He's just this staunch conservative, you know?
I got to be honest. I think Jesus is probably a little gay, man. You see those abs on him? Man, he's, you know, how forgiving he is?
Right.
You know, no straight person's, no conservative is that forgiving, you know?
Yeah.
Very liberal with the forgiveness. Yeah, you do what you want. Oh, we'll get over that. You know, conservatives are more like, you know, this is how we do things.
Yeah.
You know?
It depends. I mean, that again, depends what kind of Jesus you believe in, you know.
That's wild, though. So you just got to take some photos, man. You are going to be the groomsman and you're going to be paired up with a bridesmaid that's a dude.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
This has been done before, I'm sure, right? This is.
Yeah. I'm sure this is like, I don't know, this happens all the time now. Probably.
Oh, that's so interesting, man. Yeah. Imagine if you were a straight guy and then the girl you're such a best friends with a girl, she asks you, the groom's the bridesmaid.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh
hey,
man,
James, you want to be one of the bridesmaids? Oh, oh.
That would be brutal. Oh,
that would be funny. So does he? I guess he's just got to put a suit on that matches the dress. That's. I mean, he's gonna have his own suit because all the dudes dress the same,
right?
And then the
right.
girls have dress,
whatever color
have dresses,
they're wearing.
So he's gonna have to get his own suit.
Yeah, yeah,
wow,
yeah.
That's so cool, man. Interesting, interesting, mm-hmm, interesting. Mm-hmm. There was nothing. I mean, I guess you know what. Nothing we said was controversial. It was just what
we brought up
was controversial.
I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah.
I was just wondering if Jesus would have a problem with it. But it's not in a church.
I don't think.
It's not in a church.
You know, Jesus.
Ron DeSantis might have a big problem with it. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Wow. Yeah. Well, that sounds like your first time. Wow. What an interesting
way to kick it off. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully I get laid.
Oh, yeah.
With my guy.
Would you think Karina would be down for a threesome with you and another dude?
Absolutely not.
No. See, that's the weird thing about... That's another crazy thing about guys and girls. Like, girls... hey, you want to bring another dude into... Oh, no. And then for guys, like... Girls, like, you want to bring another girl into this?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Interesting, right?
Yeah.
But apparently women...
I guess that goes back
different.
To, you know, what are they getting out of it, right? That's probably
what... That's exactly what it is!
Yeah.
What am I getting out of this?
They don't need an extra dick.
Is this other guy tall?
Right.
All right, you know what? Speaking of infidelity, perfect segue. Look at that. We're already rocking. This is perfect for you, and it's so funny you brought this to my attention while you were here, but Tom Brady, who is your fucking who is he to you? Your darling, your sweetheart.
It's my guy.
It's your guy.
Yeah.
You're one of those guys that is a fan of Brady, not a fan of the Patriots.
Well, I guess by proxy when he was playing for him, you know, rooting for the team there.
But now you don't I have an audition. Now you could give a shit.
Yeah, no. I don't especially with Belichick on now too. It's a completely new team. Completely new era.
Yeah. So apparently Tom Brady has accepted Gisele Bundchen's relationship with jiu-jitsu instructor she allegedly cheated with. But this isn't even the juice.
Well,
The juice is that he's accepted that he's that he cheated. She was sleeping with him while they were still together.
Yeah.
Right?
Because they saw pictures of them, or they put pictures out of Gisele and the trainer, like, after the divorce, and it was like, all right, whatever. It was after the divorce.
Yeah.
But then they're saying this was happening towards the ending years of the marriage.
Well, they were starting to date, like it came out that they were dating, like, 8 months after the divorce, right?
Yeah, it was after the divorce. Yeah.
Right. I mean, I guess technically you could move on that quick, but here's the thing. Most women, because... like we said, women only do things that benefit them.
Right.
I think, and also women are just smarter than men. So it's like Brady's probably like, my marriage is falling apart. I'm playing football, this, that. I'll just play football, get my mind off it. Brr, right? I'm Tom Brady. Giselle's thinking like, this is ending. I got to make sure I have a fallout plan. Women always, like if it's ending, unless they're the ones that are getting broken up with, they almost always have like someone or something that they're falling back to. Like they have someone that's shown in that they're into, and then they think, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. My beef with this whole story is the narrative has been spun like Tom Brady was just a deadbeat dad. He refused to stop playing football. Giselle was at home with the kids all the time, making fucking apple pie. Not the case at all. She had her own career.
No, she's getting screwed.
Nannies were raising those fucking kids. So, like,
sure.
I think that narrative is such bullshit. And what I'm noticing...
And she's definitely doing jiu-jitsu.
Sure. Jiu-jitsu with a lot more going on.
What's the guy's name? The guy, they put his name out here. What is it?
Jiu-jitsu with some ground and pound.
Joaquin Valentin. That's a fucking beautiful name. The guy's name is Joaquin Valentin. Valente?
I don't know. Personally, I think...
That's a great name.
Personally, I think Tom Brady is a beautiful white name.
Boy.
No, but...
I don't know how you're going to make it at this wedding.
Dude, another thing... I know.
Slap the guy's hand when he tries to grab it.
I know. He's Latino, too. So.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Hopefully he knows jiu-jitsu.
Sounds hot. Gay Latino. This is hot.
Another thing I'm noticing, the reactions to the story... girls defending Giselle. Like, come on, like, see it from her perspective. But if it was the other way around and Tom Brady was cheating, instantly, piece of shit, fuck Tom Brady. Like, there would be outrage. But The women are like defending her. It's nonsense. It's,
but you know, in the same light as you're saying, like all the dudes being like, well, you know, the dude's got a career, he's working, blah blah blah. It's the same thing with women. Women blindly defend. Dude, I was at the strip yesterday, and you know the bits I do about losing the cats.
Yeah.
So I go, I'm broken up. I lost my cats in my divorce, whatever. And the lady in the car goes, yeah, as well you should. I'm like, you don't even know me. You don't even know her. He goes, well, I'm on her side no matter what. I'm like, she could be Ghislaine Maxwell. What are you talking about? She goes, no, I believe her. I'm on her side. I'm like, oh my God, you fucking bitch. Like, are you? And she ended up being, and then it was one of those classic heckles where she was like, yeah, I thought you were funny. I'm like, okay, listen, like, and if it was personal, if it was like real life, where I'm on stage and you said that to me, if you were a dude, I would want to fight you, dude.
Right, right.
Like that shit was, like, imagine losing custody of your children and you're saying it on stage and someone's like, well, as well you should. It's like, are you kidding me, dude? So anyways, but no, like, yeah, women tend to defend men. Men tend to,
meant women tend to defend women.
Women defend women, men defend men. Here's what I think, though. This isn't surprising to me, dude, because Tom Brady is, he's 20 years, right? Football is such a demanding sport. Like, you're gone all the time. So, and then he's got kids. So I'm sure, and then he's a psycho into his craft, which is what you got to do to be great.
Right.
But I'm sure there's no intimacy in the relationship. It's just like he can't take a chill pill, right? He's always working, obsessive, competitive, you know? Like, women, like, kind of, like, I don't know. I was very competitive, and my last girlfriend thought I was, like, too crazy, you know? Like, about losing and shit. But it's just weird. It's like, this doesn't surprise me that someone that's this great, that's like pouring himself into this craft like this, his marriage didn't work out. It doesn't surprise me. And like, dude, Giselle makes a lot of money, you know?
Yeah.
It also doesn't matter who everyone's like. Here's what I'm seeing. All these men are, this is what the dudes are saying.
Nobody's safe. It doesn't matter
who you are. Right. If TV12 can get cheated on, your ass has no chance. You could be Tom Brady, still going to get cheated. Bro, everyone gets used to everything. If I'm dating Giselle Bundchen, right? You know, I'm going to get used to her, right? Or you just start living with them. Their mannerisms, things piss you off. So it's like everyone gets used to everyone, man.
Sure,
you know?
Sure. Yeah. It's that old saying. It's like with every hot girl, there's a guy that's tired of banging her.
For sure. Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, so it's, I don't know, but she looks really good in this photo of them.
Does she?
With the jiu-jitsu guy.
I don't know.
You don't think she looks hot? Look at her.
I used to be a big Giselle defender. People would always be like, like Patriots haters would always be like, oh, she looks like a fucking man. I'd be like, shut up. She's beautiful.
No, she doesn't look
now,
like a man.
I don't care. Now that she did my guy wrong.
This is
Giselle.
Wild.
Giselle, she's famous for being the only Brazilian without an ass. So.
Wow. You're one of these blind defenders.
Yeah, dude.
Wow.
Watch it come out. Tom Brady just had whores, like, just lined up.
But also, just the fact that he's so, like, famous, you know, like so big, like that would probably make the sex so much more hotter. It's like, I'm cheating on Tom Brady.
She's so famous though, like
in her own
southern
sure.
hemisphere.
I'm sure. I'm like, but for the dude, he's probably like, holy shit, man! Like, I'm fucking Tom Brady's wife.
Right. Yeah. I don't. Yeah.
No, it doesn't matter how many rings you have.
No. I mean, like him, he's probably just trying to bang every girl that comes to his class. It's like the sketchy, like, personal trainer. They're just always, like, they're known for being like the horniest, like, dudes. So he's like, he's also seeing the money bags with this. He's like, if I can lock this down,
right,
I won't need to teach jiu-jitsu to fat guys anymore.
It is weird though. He goes, Tom Brady is trying to find the good in the relationship. It's like, dude, this guy's like one of the most competitive people we've ever to walk this earth. Like, Michael Jordan level shit. I'm trying to find the good in the new relationship.
Yeah,
like,
that's
what are you talking about.
That's publicist talk.
Of
though.
Course.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. I still feel bad, man. You know, but yeah. So, speaking of cheaters, man, I saw this recently. I want to read this to you. So, here, let me just read the article. It says, "Cheating wife won't get another chance. Husband announces in viral post. I want to leave her." So apparently this guy got cheated on. He puts it on social media, kind of asking Twitter, which is not a great place to ask people's life advice,
yeah,
what he should do. So, oh, it's Reddit. He put it on Reddit.
Mm.
Am I wrong for not giving my cheating wife another chance?
That's a much better platform for questions.
Oh, so much better. I mean, if you have issues, go on Reddit. Get it from strangers.
Right.
Nothing is more, you know, you always can trust HIPPOC 9111 for advice, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it says here, me 39M, oh, 39 male. Well, thanks for giving us your gender. And my wife 33F. Isn't that weird? No one does that, right? Do people do that?
On Reddit, they do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if it's a thing.
It's a weird way of, yeah, they identify themselves, yeah.
So me, 39M, and my wife, 33F, have been together for 13 years. She recently went away on a girls' trip. I was not worried at all. Dun, dun, dun.
Where was the trip?
She was going to the Boltons. Half an hour away.
What's the
Butlins? It wasn't far, apparently.
Do you know where the Butlins is, though?
Apparently, it was half an hour away. So, it wasn't even a trip. Wait, hold on. Let me just read it. So, I have never had a reason to distrust her. She has never done anything to give me cause for concern, and it's not like she was even going abroad. Okay. She was going to Butlins, half an hour away, for God's sake. Maybe that's like a bar or something in the town, but this is half an hour away. She went with her sister and a few other girls. She called me up this morning. I didn't expect anything other than her checking in. She's only been away one night of a three-night trip. When I answered, she was crying and incoherent. When I finally calmed her down, she told me she had slept with someone the night before. Supposedly, she met a guy who she approached. They flirted a little and danced together, and she thought that that was as far as it was going to go, but he supposedly just charmed her into a kiss, which turned to making out, which turned to her asking him to walk her back to the hotel, which turned into them having sex. She says nothing was amiss. He wasn't pushy or weird. And they actually had sex multiple times.
She had about 30 instances in that story where she could have said no and gotten out.
I just love how she breaks the news to him and she goes, I just want to let you know he wasn't pushy, he wasn't weird, and we had sex multiple times.
Yeah, I had the time of my life. Yeah.
She said because she would say they needed to stop, and he would stop immediately, and then after a few minutes, she'd want him to carry out, and he would. Man, and he was supposedly never even finished because of stop starting. This supposedly went on for 3 hours, and she eventually said stop for good and asked him to leave.
Oh, only 3 hours? Oh, that's fine. God, she didn't really cheat.
These details are horrible, dude. This guy is 10 years younger than her, supposedly, and she lied and told him she was going through a divorce.
The guy was 23? Oh, this is some, like...
And she lied. She told him that she was going through a divorce. She says she doesn't know what came over her, and she just wanted to see if she still had it, but got carried away. 14 years, married for 10. We have a 7-year-old daughter. I want to leave her. She's begging me not to. Offering marriage counseling, never going out again, never drinking again. I've always been a one-chance sort of guy. I just told her to go fuck herself and have been ignoring her since about 10 a.m.
Do they have kids?
10 a.m.? Yeah, they have a 7-year-old daughter.
Ah.
Been ignoring since 10 a.m. This is fresh off the presses. Now her friends and sister are calling me too. They apparently had no idea she'd even gone home with him. They saw them talking, but thought nothing of it. I just want them to leave me alone. I told my mum about it, and M-U-M. About it, and she said I should think about my family, and then my wife seems genuinely remorseful and didn't want to hide anything and came clean right away. It's not like she had an affair, that's what mom said, and that is bad, and it's the best case scenario. After the conversation, I feel like I'm insane. Am I wrong for not even considering forgiving her? Dude, talk about woman supporting woman blindly. Even his mom is like,
yeah,
come on, baby, it's
right.
All good,
right?
Wow.
God.
Think his
mom was a whore too.
Oh man, he called her mum. You know,
are they British?
I don't know. I don't know where this takes place.
They say mum.
Yeah, so maybe. I love how this is brutal, dude. I mean, what are your friends saying? He didn't mention about his friends. It's all just like her friends, his mom. Telling him that it's not a big deal.
Guarantee if he has any guy friends, all of them are like, get out of that.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know, but it's just like,
The 7-year-old kid thing is the only thing to think about.
That's the toughest thing. But dude, honestly, man, it's like this whole thing of like, there's got to be some repercussion. Like, this can't be one of those, like, let's say he does take her back and like it's like they try to carry on, you know, and there's a little bit like there has to be something where like he has to leave for like a week or maybe a month. Like, he needs to like re-fucking-assess. Sure. Also, like, this shit of like you do. I mean, like, the details are so fucking. It's not like, you know, listen, we've all been in a situation. Actually, I don't know. We've all been there. I don't think I've ever been in one, but it's like, whatever. Like, you've heard situations like that where it's like guy, his girlfriend, they're upset. She goes out, maybe kisses a guy, makes out again, and they're like, oh, I can't. And they run away and they maybe tell them, right? But this is a complete different story, man. Like you said, there's so many chances to like end it.
Yeah.
3 hours of pulling in, pulling out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, goddamn. Mm-hmm.
No, even that, the drive to the hotel, the fucking at the bar, all
she
that.
She invited him. She all lied. That time. She said she was divorced.
Yeah, yeah. No, the lie, too. Like, yeah. it was very deliberate. This was not it accidentally fell in, you know? This was all the way through there. And, yeah, wow.
It is interesting because he goes, never had a chance to distrust her. Never do. The moments, you know, I hear that all the time. Like, then you're an idiot. If this happened and you were like, I never saw it coming, then you're there's something wrong with you.
Yeah. Well, what this tells me is she said the guy was 10 years younger than him or 10 years younger than her.
Her.
So 23 years old this kid was.
Guy's probably
this to me screams like a woman's version of midlife crisis. Like, she's like, okay, like, I'm losing all of my attractiveness by the day. You know, the kids thing, I'm not going to be pumping out anymore. Like, she's approaching the end of her career the same way like guys act out when they're like, you know, turning 50, right?
Sure.
That's when they're kind of like, you know, all that is going away.
But
so,
do you think that, you know, I understand what you're saying and it's totally valid, but like, do you think that if the dude, and I'm not victim blaming or I'm not doing anything, I'm not blaming anyone, but it's like, you think if her husband made her feel sexy and hot, you think that's enough? Like, or in any relationship, do you think it's like, even like, let's say with your girlfriend, it's like, if you don't make her feel hot, what am I trying to say here? It's like, as long as you make her feel hot and wanted, why does she need that from anyone else? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think there's two sides to that though. Yeah. Like, in this instance, it's like, he could have been doing a better job of that, but at the same time, it's like, they've been together so long, maybe she's like not as attracted to him as she used to be, no matter kind of what he does.
Yeah.
You know, and then it's like, no matter how much he compliments her and fucking wants her, she's like, it's not the same as being wanted by like some young dude, you know?
But that's so fucking funny, because young dudes are idiots. We're just fucking cool, because they're just attractive?
No, it's reminding her of her like youth.
Yeah.
Where, you know, like young horny dudes were going for her, you know, probably didn't think that was happening anymore. Right. So when it does, it's like, oh, I still got it.
Yeah,
I'm not defending her, by the way.
No.
Deplorable, fucking disgusting behavior. Yeah. However, the psychology of it, I think it's that, you know,
I guess, man. But here's a sad thing, dude. Like the fact that he typed this up, he's on Reddit, he's asking like the public or people that he doesn't know what he should do. That already gives me the answer that he's thinking about staying with her.
Yeah.
Like, if you were hell-bent,
it also gives the answer that, I mean, there's something wrong with him. Like, who the fuck would do this?
Yeah, this is insane.
Yeah, this is
He obviously doesn't have any guy friends.
This is kind of cuck behavior.
Honestly.
Yeah, and maybe
it is cuck behavior if
maybe
he takes
a little
her back.
Bit, maybe he's into that. You know what I mean?
I love how he goes, this is so funny. He goes, this is the best part. I've always been a one-chance sort of guy. If you are, then shut the fuck up.
Right.
Then leave her.
This post would not have happened.
Right.
If you were a
He's thinking about staying. Because, dude, I've been in there. You know, I'm going through my breakup. All this, like, and now I look back at all the times I've been like, oh, maybe should. If you're thinking shit, there's always that. The door is always open. Until you close it, there's no gumption in anything you're saying.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That wasn't really clear what I said. But what I'm trying to say is like when my therapist once was like, blocker. And I'm like, you never know. Right. Mm. I'm like, oh, don't. Here's what I would say. I'd be like, I don't need to do that. What if she needs to contact me? And it's like, if I was really like, I'm done with her, I would block her. But there's still a part of me that's like, I will block her because, for sure, if he's leaving it up to debate like this.
You want to talk about like lame things like you've done after a breakup, or just like lame thoughts? Like I remember, like,
go back and play another season,
like college breakup. You know what I mean? Like you know, walking through campus, like hoping, like you know, she like saw me doing something like cool or whatever. Yeah. Fucking just disgusting.
You're just spinning a basketball on your finger, and she's
No, no, no. It's like what I would do when I was like in fifth grade, like walking around my neighborhood with like a girl like I went to school with, like in there, like dribbling a basketball, like. Past her house, you know, like, oh, dude, she's gonna see these fucking handles. Like, no,
Dude. I mean, it's inescapable, but like, you know, when you go through something like that, a lot of what you do is based on like, you know, I'm gonna show them. You know, I mean, look, I'm a good example, man. We broke up. I start fucking working out like an animal. I start, whatever, posting whatever the bullshit. A lot of it had to do with, like, I hope she fucking sees what she's missing out on.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And
for sure.
It's just inescapable, man. And it's not until you start doing things that aren't for that reason. They're either for someone else or for you or just.
Yeah.
You're not really totally over it. But everyone does that, man. Everyone, like, subconsciously just is hoping, like, you know, I hope she sees this or. Dude, even this apartment, when I got this apartment, you know, like she never saw the place. Mm-hmm. But, like, I remember I was like, oh, maybe I should take pictures in front of the washer dryer, you know, post it, you know, just accidentally. So she, but, you know, man, oh, we're going to work. We should, you know, next time, I love to have women on get their opinion, but they always cancel on me. I'm just not worth doing. You know?
Yeah, yeah. They're very plan-oriented, too, you know?
They're very smart, man. I mean, like, you know how many times I'm like, I wish I could get out of this? Women don't have that problem. They're like, oh, I'm getting out of this. All right,
I know some women, though, that are with some fucking, like, in some bad relationships that they're just in denial about it.
Well, in their
mind, are some clueless, like, dumb girls out there. Like,
but in their mind, they're clueless. In their mind, they think that it's worth it being in there. They're getting something out of it.
I do think, like you know, there are some where they do know something's wrong. But, you know, I don't know. They have a different, they justify it differently. Yeah. But I think there are instances where they're just with, like, a pure asshole of a guy. I think they'll stay with an asshole. But they won't stay with like a weak fucking like cock.
It's the moment they lose respect for you. That's when they're done with you. Like if they don't respect, like that's why you can be an asshole. You can treat them like garbage, which you shouldn't. But if they think they need you, somehow, the moment they can figure out the way to live without you or like, you know, cause a lot of times that has to do with financial things. It could be emotional support, right? Yeah. I'm the only one that blah, 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 you know? Fucking bitch, you know, and then they're like, oh, he's the only one. And it's like, but there's once whatever your purpose is to them is gone, they're gonna walk right out that motherfucking door and they'll fuck someone 10 years younger than them. All right, let's talk about this. I'm not sure you want to talk about this, but I'm gonna talk about it with you anyway. But multiracial communities, apparently,
we've got to put an end to them. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, we should kill ourselves.
Yes.
Multiracial communities, what's the headline here? I'm trying to find. Let me see if I could find this Washington Post article. Mixed race teens prone to depression. Apparently, a study finds higher rate of stress-related health problems. Oh, no. Oh, no. I can't read this post without putting in my email. Shit! God, fucking damn, dude. This is the state of journalism right now. All right.
No, it's weird they do that. You know?
No, they do.
They should be grateful for every fucking person that reads their outdated fucking source of media.
Hey, man, if you're good at anything, you don't do it for free. That's what they say. let me see here. Basically, what I'm trying to say is what I found. Okay, here we go. Two or more races. Oh, shit. Okay. What is rising is the number of mental health conditions in multiracial communities. Two or more races are most likely to report a mental health illness in a given year. And the percentage of people with mental illness identifying as multiracial is, you want to guess what percent of
people that say they have
mental health illness are multiracial?
This is people who
they say they have a mental illness.
Okay.
What's the percent that's multiracial?
19%.
25.
Okay.
25%.
Not too bad.
That's all right.
Not too bad.
Of the individuals who live with mental health conditions, 25 identify as two or more races. And,
Geez, that's one-fourth of the...
That's a fucking lot, dude.
And then how many people...
We had two more multiracial guys here. One of us would be depressed.
And then I guess how many people are not mixed race? Like, what's our percentage... What's our percentage in, like, the entire populace?
Let's Google that.
Because if we only take up 3% of the world and we're 25% of that...
That's insane.
...statistic, that's really bad.
Well, it's not going to be a huge percent. In 2020... Great year. United States Census, 33.8 million individuals, or 10.2% of the population, self-identify as multiracial.
Okay.
So let's self-identify. Let's take that down to
4%. Yeah.
Out of 23andMe.
So that's not...
That's still bad, dude.
That's really bad,
that's
actually.
For 25 of... Yeah.
Yeah.
That's bad.
It's very bad.
And they say a lot of the issues are...
We're going to put a suicide hotline on the screen behind us
we don't want those people to get help.
Right.
Just deal with it, pussy.
Yep. Darwinism.
That's going to get me fired. Yeah. But it says the patient's identity, the emotional... So a therapist or a clinician who demonstrates cultural competency or at least humility... An openness to engage in discussions about racial and ethnic identity and considers the social and emotional impact of the patient's identity will make a big difference in the quality of treatment. Okay.
Understand a word of that?
No, I read the wrong thing. I read the ways to... I'm trying to find... Okay, here we go.
That brought me back to school. I was like, shit.
Yeah, oh boy. I'm going to fail this one. Okay, while not a mental health diagnosis, many people of multiracial heritage also experience imposter syndrome, feelings of self-doubt, and personal crisis in relation to how they identify themselves. These feelings may come from internal reflection, but they are often perpetuated by the negative reactions, attitudes, and perceptions of them by others. Discrimination, prejudice, exclusion, and microaggressions against multiracial populations, many of whom have traced their heritage back to colonialism or slavery, have serious impacts on their mental health. Okay, well, I don't know about that last part for me.
Yeah, I think that's more for half black people.
Yeah. But I don't know. Do you feel that way? Because I would say, it would be pretty dope to be one race, like white, black, whatever, and then you just completely immerse yourself with a group of people. But for mixed race people, I don't really feel like I can go to Chinatown and be totally welcomed. I don't feel like I can go to the Puerto Rico. Should I say Chinatown? Fucking Jesus. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. I don't feel like if I would be accepted in a group of Chinese people.
Yeah.
Like a normal Chinese person was. Sure. I don't feel like if I go to a bunch of Puerto Ricans, I would feel as welcomed as a full Puerto Rican.
Yeah.
Do you feel that kind of sucks. Like, I would be interested to know what that's like.
Mm-hmm.
You get dropped off in any part of the world. If you're one race, I'll go to the white people here. You know?
I think about prison a lot.
Oh, all the time.
Yeah.
I used to have a bit about it.
Where
it
would
never
I
worked,
go? Yeah, but, no, same.
Yeah.
I think every mixed race.
What race would I join?
Yeah. Apparently, I looked it up on Reddit.
There's a mixed race one?
There's an others.
Oh, yeah. An others?
They call them the others. And others. Yeah.
What do they call others?
I don't know. I don't know about that.
Yeah.
But it's just like you can join whites, blacks, Latinos, or others.
That's got to be 10% of the prison population. Yeah. That's not good in wars.
Yeah, you know? No way.
Small
no
lunch
way.
Table.
Now, yeah,
in the
yeah.
Cafeteria.
Right.
Yeah.
I have heard though, Asian prisoners are like very feared because for an Asian guy to be in prison, it's usually not for like petty crimes or like selling weed. It's either for I guess white collar crime, not as scary, or it's for something serious like you fucking murdered somebody. But
I read one thing recently about a guy who like tried to bury his wife
alive.
Yeah, then she got out. He's a fucking idiot. He's in jail. But like, it does seem like because you hear about like the triads, like the Asian gangs, when they torture someone, it's like balls, like the balls, the dick, like they always go for that kind of stuff. It's never like, we broke his legs. It's like, we just severed his.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
They always seem to go a little bit a little harder.
And I think it might be to like because they don't have the numbers. They're like they have to be more vicious.
Yeah.
You know, than maybe some of these like traditional gangs.
Yeah.
Yeah. But well, anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, back to this.
Yeah.
I do I do feel that because, no, I mean, like, even when I go to, dude, even when I go to Asian comedy festivals, I'm like,
oh,
I feel, I
you
feel
like the token, not even token, you feel like the, what is it? Imposter syndrome.
Yeah. I feel like the white guy. Yeah.
God damn it. If you really think about how that can manifest in other parts of life, yeah. If you literally think you're going to, you're chosen, be in our Asian festival and you feel like a fucking imposter, or if you go to whatever, an Irish gathering, like, oh, yeah, fucking Asian.
No. Anytime I go to white gatherings, like, yeah. And I'm talking like really, really white gatherings.
Right.
I feel like I'm like, they all are thinking like, who's this little chink that's but here? That, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
No, them, not me, yeah. Not me. You know what I mean?
That was a Shane Gillis side that said that.
Yeah. No.
Great monologue, by the way. I don't understand all these people. He bombed. What are you talking about? Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't hear less.
Right. Yeah. Right. Anyways. No. I'm saying, I don't know. I do feel that though with like these. Like if I'm in like the, not that I have a house there or anything, but if I am in like the Hamptons or something, you know, like just these ultra white places,
yeah,
I feel more Asian.
Yeah, it's weird though because I still feel like you got some Asian coming out of you, but there are some half white, half Asian guys that like they just become so white, mm-hmm. where you do feel like, oh, you're just a white guy now. Right,
I feel that way.
White,
though
you what, that you that you're white, you're white.
Yeah. I feel very white, except when I'm in the ultra white settings. If I'm just in kind of a normal setting, I'm you're like, I'm a white guy.
You don't come across as privileged, though. Mm-hmm. You have to have like a real like privileged aura to like pull it off. I feel like
I think, but this is you're contributes a little bit more humble to the imposter syndrome because like you're saying this, but then I know there's. You know, there's like girls and crowds who go, look at this Connecticut looking motherfucker.
No, here. You're right. You know? You're right. Yeah, so, it's easy for me to say it on the outside, but I don't know how people are feeling on the inside. Yeah,
no. I mean, it's all over the place. Like, I have a bit about it. Like, different people think I'm a different thing.
Right.
Like, I feel like black people go, oh, you Asian motherfucker. You know, right. So, I don't know.
But, like, think about him. Like, because anytime I have some modicum of success, I always do feel like, you know, like, well, I don't really belong here. But that feeling, I mean, life's all about learned behavior, right? Mm-hmm. So if you feel like you don't belong your whole life, then even if it's non-Asian related shit or non-cultural related shit, you might still feel that way. You know? And that could be really a bummer because, like, I think we all want to feel like we have a purpose and we have, like, people that care about us and, like a... somewhere to fit in.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have that, I could see why people would get all these horrible feelings.
I also think too, it's always like all the groups, right? It's all like, you know, or debates. It's like white people, black people.
Yes.
You know, there's never really discussion around mixed race, which will probably change because I think the mixed race population is only going to go up, you know?
And people, it is, you know, they're talking about this whole
thing. Unless we all kill ourselves.
I mean... One out of every four. We're losing a quarter of us.
We're losing them as much as we're gaining them. I guess.
Funny if I went to get some antidepressants. Like, I'll be honest. I have my bouts of depression, but I mean, there's a lot of things going on.
Do you
right now
or do you ever take?
No. Okay. I go to therapy. I thought about it, but it'd be funny if I went to therapy. Like, I went to a psychiatrist trying to get it, and he's like, "So tell me." I'm like, "I'm mixed race." He goes, "Oh, okay."
Yeah. He's like,
we found it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'll say this. This whole discrimination, prejudice, exclusion, microaggressions, I never really gotten that. I think it's like, now, I think it's definitely, it is almost cool. But being cool doesn't necessarily mean you feel like you're included, you know? Like if someone's like Tom Brady, for example. This is actually kind of an interesting case, I'm going to say. Tom Brady, 7 rings, greatest of all time. I mean, 10, Super Bowl appearances? No one's even close to that. Mm-hmm. Imagine if like they're ever like, not to say it's lonely at the top, but imagine if everyone's kind of grouped by like the number of Super Bowls they had. If you think about it, just because he's great, he still would be alone. You know, it's a different kind of example, but it's like just because you're people think like, oh, you're mixed race, that's so cool, or this or that. Doesn't necessarily mean that's not going to translate.
No. I know.
It's not a great.
I get the
it's not
idea.
A great, connect, I'm not connecting the
I
dots.
I get the right. idea.
It's
yeah,
not
the example.
It's not,
the
it's
example
not,
is
it's
horrible.
Yeah, it's not great. it needs work. I was throwing it out.
I think Tom Brady's very happy that he's in a grouping by himself with the amount of rings. But
he might get lonely. He might not have anyone to talk to.
No. I know what you mean.
About this. Yeah.
I know what you mean. I think fuck, now I'm forgetting what I was going
to
say.
Well, let's try to help. Like, what if there's, because listen, I have a mixed race following, and you know what's funny? I posted when I posted our last clip from the last episode. People are so stupid, but people get excited. You know, the people halfies love halfies, but how can? Well, what do you think?
I do get excited when I see one. I'm like, oh,
you, you're me.
Yeah, yeah,
but different.
I always pick them out when I'm on stage, and it derails everything. Yeah. People are like, why are you? I'm just like, I had to do it.
But even that connection doesn't feel great either. You know.
No,
it feels solid.
No. It's like you get excited, but then it's not like,
it's like you're a freak too.
It's not like we're together kind of a thing. No, you know what I mean? No. It's like a black comic performing in front of all white people except for like one or two black people there.
Oh,
it's like,
that's right.
Hey, there we are.
And they come after. Like, yep. You're black. I love you.
Right,
like,
right.
Ah.
See, mixed race guy's kind of like, oh, hey. And then it's like, eh, we don't go anywhere from here. Like,
that might be more of a dude thing because I think it's more of a dude because a lot of the halfy girls, they do go out of their way to like connect and follow and like, you
yeah.
know.
I also think part of the problem is too is it's only like mixed race can be so different, right? So it's like me seeing a half black guy, I'm not gonna be like, hey, mixed race, we're in this together. Like, we're completely different.
That's the thing, yeah. So we go from 10%, we narrow it down even further.
Half Asians,
to like, the actual people. Man, it must be great to be white. You just go outside. Ah, everyone's here.
Yeah.
All my people are here.
Sure,
God,
sure.
It's got to feel good. Imagine we walked. I mean, I guess you could just move to Seattle. You go out, it's all half Asians everywhere.
Yeah.
You know?
I've rationalized it, though. I think there's two ways that people go about it. Some rationalize it as, this is horrible, I'm different from everyone else. And then some people rationalize it as like, oh, I'm cool, I like being different than everyone else.
No, for sure.
So I've gone to that. I'm like, oh, I'm so glad. I would hate to be in this like herd of white, you know, white sheep.
Yeah,
right?
That's
just my mental kind of way of dealing with it. I will acknowledge, though, like growing up, I got made fun of for it a lot more than I got like praise for being cool for it.
Yeah,
I'd say now people say it's more cool than I get shit for it. So I think as an adult, it's been better.
I think I would think like even definitely like 20, 30 years ago, if you were mixed race, I mean, people almost like, your mom's a whore. Like, people would like you, like, because they wouldn't like keep it in the same race.
Yeah,
people had that dumb mentality.
What
now,
I get,
it's
what
like,
I get a lot is is like, did your dad fight in a war?
Yeah. Well, that's,
you know,
for
was
sure.
He, was he
Korean?
Yeah. Was he overseas somewhere?
Yeah. Oh God.
Yeah.
Jesus, what an antiquated. Not antiquated, but like, you could tell someone is if that's where they go. You know?
No, I was on stage. I was like, my mom's this, dad's this, and then fucking this old woman yells out. There's a show in Rockaway.
Yeah,
And it was like, whoa. Oh, so you're a military brat? And I was like, no, I am not.
Rockaway, dude. Sometimes, it's so funny because I was just in the Midwest this weekend. I do some show, and this happens a lot when this isn't the Midwest, but it's Midwest, even like South Jersey. You know, shows go well, and then you have people coming up after you saying, you know, singing your praises, and then you get the few people like, man, for pretty funny for a Chinese guy, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Pretty funny, like, for a Chinaman.
Yeah. Dude, I have
for one of those Orientals, those jokes weren't too bad.
Funniest Jackie Chan I've ever
seen.
Yeah. Woo! But yeah, it's, and then they have no idea. They're like, being horrible. And
right,
I don't even get too, I mean, it's triggering because we live in New York, and
sure,
like, if you do
that
in New York, people will, you know, start beating you up.
Right,
so
right. I don't
like,
mind. Yeah, yeah. No, I don't mind the completely like only around white people all the time, completely clueless, like racists. Like, I don't. I kind of find it funny.
No, it's cute almost. Yeah. It's it's like a baby.
Yeah,
almost. Yeah. Anyways, but yeah, well, I don't know what we could do to
help
change it. Yeah, I noticed that 1 in 10 Americans.
Listen, guys. I guess for the half Asians out there,
you have a good mentality, though.
It will get better. Okay, you're gonna go from everybody, all the kids doing the squinty eyes at you, making fun of you. Okay, you're gonna get older, and then girls are gonna be like, "Oh shit, you're exotic." And also, the Asian girls will kind of see you as like, you're like the light skinned black dude of Asians. That's kind of the way I've seen it. So it's like, you're Asian enough to bring home, but white enough for them to like be really attracted.
Yeah,
to you.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know, but you you remind me when I was single, because I had short hair.
Okay.
And I don't want to go as far
by,
as say
in look.
And look, well, I had short hair and I was mixed race.
Not behavior.
Not behavior. No. Well, I almost ended your career there. Girls do dig it. The half Asian.
Yeah, for sure.
They're
for
really
sure.
into it. I don't think I come across as half Asian as I did before, maybe, or I'm just in my own fucking. Do I still look with the long hair? Do I look more
as opposed to what?
Not
you definitely don't look full
okay.
Puerto Rican.
I'm just in my head.
Yeah, yeah.
But now, all right, whatever. It doesn't matter. All right. What is this? Okay. Man, that was a...
At least to me, you know, that's the thing. You never know.
Your opinion is the only thing that matters. all right, let's answer some fan mail together. And we'll wrap up here.
Do people get silly or do they get serious?
People get silly and serious, mostly serious. I feel like this is a question. This one, I think, is probably better for just myself. Here's one. What do you wish there was a reality TV show of? For example, I'd love to see the behind the scenes of how infomercials are made, of the writing room of Kids Bop, or like the reverse Bachelor, Bachelorette, where they're trying not to get chosen without hurting the main person's feelings, but to make it fair, the Bachelor's also not into them. What do you wish that we could see, like a behind the scenes, like if you're a fly in the wall, I guess?
First off, the infomercials reality TV idea sucks. That would never work. So they have a name here. I don't want to be mean.
Well, she says the infomercials for
two separate ideas.
Bop.
Yeah, yeah. So
I mean, even that Kids Bop, that didn't sound too
behind the scenes of how infomercials get made. It's like it's just a bunch of like older white people, right?
Behind the scenes of how. Oh, that's interesting. Infomercials of how the writing room of Kids Bop. I mean, you know how that is. They just look, what's trending?
Yeah.
Are there any curses in this song? Let's put that on Kids Bop.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
Or I guess they mean when they actually shoot the music videos when the kids are running around. I don't know.
Aren't infomercials like, hey, we have gold coins?
She's fascinated in some aspect that we don't understand.
Okay.
Because we're not really understanding what's fascinating about infomercials of Kids Bop.
I guess we'll go to our... Okay, she wants to know what reality TV would we like?
To make a reality TV show. I'm not big into reality TV, though.
Oh, I got one. I got one. It's perfect. It's topical.
Yes.
Right? So Love on the Spectrum is going off. Everyone's watching it. People won't stop talking about it. What if you did a Bachelor version or Bachelorette version, Love on the Spectrum edition? They're all autistic.
Oh.
So you just have one, you know, adorable autistic guy or gal. And then,
so they're all autistic, or is it just the guy's autistic? Or
no, they're all autistic.
It's like the Special Olympics.
Yes. Yep. Ooh. And you know, there's a chance at the end of the show, no one ends up with anybody because you know they're a little bit more awkward.
You know what I feel? You know what makes me sad is when I see someone with on the spectrum or whatever, and like they're with their like parent holding their hand, you know, which is great. Like that's beautiful. That you know. The mom, dad takes care of them. Like I think, the part of me that also goes like, that guy's like never gonna like get married or get laid. You know, like it's just like who, like oh, like that they're never gonna find love. I mean, they could. I'm not saying they can't, but it's like you kind of feel that like man, like
yeah.
Like, that gets really
I
down.
Mean it, no, no, no. I mean it's
I'm terrified.
It certainly sucks for them. Yeah,
it's not great.
I would say being on the spectrum is not as good as not being on the spectrum.
But the reverse is that their life is just like butterfly. Woo! It's like for us, it's like butterfly. You know, butterfly effect. Life sucks. You know, the more you know, the more you can process the more.
I think it also depends on the kind you've got there.
Those kinds.
No, like autism versus Down syndrome.
Oh, sure.
Down syndrome, they seem, I mean, this is like Shane Gillis talking about this, but they seem very happy.
You know? Oh, he has a bit about that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, didn't he do that on SNL?
He
has something about his, he said retard.
He talks
there.
A lot about the folks on the spectrum, yeah.
Well, dude, it's so funny because if people get upset about that, he's like, I think he said his,
I don't think anybody was
his
really...
His sister was autistic or something?
I don't think anybody was really upset about his set. Like, anytime I see, like, backlash from SNL monologues, it's just like, it's just fake engagement. Like, it's people will write it just to say, but no one's actually mad.
No, it's funny because you almost want to tell the people that do that, it's like, you know these execs.
Yeah. And then
they think you're literally sheep.
But then Shane Gillis fans want there to be backlash from the lame people so they can defend. You know what I mean? It's people like want to fight. Bro, so I'm noticing with the Shane Gillis monologue,
yeah.
they're zooming in on that woman, that redhead in the band.
That she's
and they're
laughing.
Like, look how fucking mad she is. She's not laughing. You don't even know that. You don't even know that she's mad. Did she come out and say she was mad? Like, it's kind of annoying. That part is a little bit annoying to me that people just want. They're contributing to the problem of this outrage shit. They're like, look, she's fucking triggered. We're behind Shane. It's like, she never said that.
But dude, this is how you become successful this day and age. It's not really about, when people talk about content, it's not about like, what do you have to say? It's about, can you get people fucking riled up? Like, can you get people to talk? Can you get people to share?
Yeah.
Same thing with Shane. It's like, he's controversial.
I'm not questioning his content. No, I'm not saying that.
It's like, but like, you know, he's a good example. Like, all the shit you're saying, it's like, you know, I get furious, too. Of like, what the fuck are people doing on there? Like, bitching. Like, do you have anything else going on in your life? Blah, blah, blah. But it's like, that's what the game is now. If you can have that type of fan base or, like, vitriol, like, and whenever you're posting is going to go, it's going to trend because you just said something and people half the world fucking hates you or half the world loves you, like, that's how you get big now, you know?
Yeah.
So he's got to, I mean, that's the, when he got canceled, man, like, I'm sure that month after was probably the worst thing of his life, but, I mean, this is a blessing, man, especially in the society we live in where everyone, like, people just, when that article came out, when the thing came out, all these articles, Shane Gillis bombed. Shane, it's just like,
one, I think that's their version, though.
That's the way of getting people to click on their shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Man.
Exactly. They're doing the same thing.
It's
not real outrage. Nobody was actually outraged by the set. You know what I mean? Like,
you go on the street, no one even gives a shit.
Yeah. For him, I feel like it used to be kind of at first about round people. Now it's more just like he's tapped in so hard to a demo. It's like it's my demo if I like wasn't doing comedy. So like essentially me, the comedian version of me, like they're just obsessed, you know, with the guy. Well, and I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying like that's, he's tapped in to like, they're gonna fucking defend him no matter what.
Yeah. Like you defend Tom Brady.
Yeah,
it's the same type of thing.
Sure. Yeah. I got some buddies. Shane Gillis is there. Tom Brady.
Yeah. I know Shane Gillis.
Yeah.
He follows me.
Nice. He was doing SNL, everyone posting, look, I know Shane Gillis. Look, we were together one time.
You know, like, you know who didn't?
Kevin Brennan?
No, me.
Oh, okay.
Me. I wasn't that fucking. I wasn't one of those losers.
Kevin Brennan was a good guess as someone who wouldn't do it.
I don't even know. I'm pretty sure Kevin. I would assume Kevin. I don't know.
No. Yeah. I'm sure he likes him. I'm saying he wouldn't post a picture being like, look at
us. No. I know. What was I going to say in relation to that? I still get, because, you know, he has his podcast, and I guess people are backlogging now.
Yeah.
But people I went to school with are like, he talks about our gig we did together in one of his episodes, and he mentions me by name. And he says really nice things. He goes, Camacho, funny kid. Asian guy. You know, Chinese, South Puerto Rican. I'm like, oh my God.
It's like, Camacho, that dirty chink.
Dude, if it was me he mentioned and then he got canceled, if he called me a chink and like it got him canceled, I would have so much fun to come out and be like, I don't know what I would have said. That would have been funny.
There's two ways to go. You could go the Peng Dang.
I would have defended him.
The Peng Dang route.
Even though Peng Dang, I think it worked out for him pretty. Yeah, he's doing okay.
He's at the cellar, I guess.
Yeah, he's at the cellar. He's touring.
Kevin Brennan recommended him.
That's amazing. But hey, I mean, everyone has their path, right?
Yeah.
But
sure.
What was I going to say? I don't think I've ever met. I think I've met him, but I don't remember. Whatever. It doesn't matter. But
met him once. Asian Comedy Festival.
I didn't know.
He was like, what's this guy doing here now?
Yeah. Half Asian guy? Get rid of him. He's half in this festival. I don't ever remember meeting him. And then when I heard he got into the cellar, I didn't know he was the same guy from the Hinchcliffe thing.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
But anyways, regardless. But I still get messages from people I went to school with like, oh, Shane mentioned you on his podcast.
Yeah.
And I'm like...
You're like, again?
Well, it's just a funny... it's amazing what people... your claim to fame is
sure. You know? Yeah,
I did some radio promo for my headlining weekend last weekend. And they were like, we saw you were in a Jay-Z music video. Mm. I was like, that was like 8 years ago, man. Yeah, and yeah. Like, I've done stuff since then that's like comedy related. But right. I don't actually say that, but I'm just like, this. It's just, again, Jay-Z, all these like Shane Gillis, like these big things. That's what gets people fucking, you know,
yeah.
going.
So. Yeah, it's like the people, you know, comic, like when Patrice was doing that like Web Junk show. It was like like the black version of like Tosh.0.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, fans would come out. They wouldn't know him from like anything else. Not a stand up, nothing. They would just be like, oh, we saw you at your show. Like, we know nothing about you. Like,
dude, I forget that. And I always constantly battled, like, I want to be a stand up. I want people to know me from stand up. I want people to respect me. I do stand up. But I always forget, like, Kevin Hart. When I first heard of Kevin Hart, I first heard of him as an actor. Then I found out he did stand-up. Mm. So I always forget that. It's like, sometimes it's like, dude, getting good at or being a good stand-up is just working it out in live shows at the clubs. Like, there's no other way you're going to be able to get that across. Like, it's just about entertaining people.
Yeah, a lot of sitcoms, like comedy shows, like, you know, all the actors. I remember before I would like kind of look into them and like, oh, they do stand up, you know, but not very successfully. But like, it's just like everybody knows them from the TV show, but they probably have this dream of like stand up that, you know, nobody really for the most part cares.
Or their dream was stand up to get the sitcom, and now they're fucking super famous. And then
then you realize they're like, fuck that. Yeah, why am I gonna grind?
You know, like well, there's also a lot of people you're like, why they do stand up? I'm sure they suck. And then they're actually like, we're grinding for 20 years. Then they get the sitcom.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, let's wrap up here. Thanks for coming on, bro. Did you have a good time?
Yeah, dude. Always a good time.
Yeah, hop on whenever you want. Again, Kevin's got his Prohibition shows. Go check him out all over the country. Go check me out all over the country. JamesCamacho.com. And any last words?
March 30th, Soho Playhouse, New York City. Come on out.
March 30th, Soho Playhouse. Come see us. Do our thing. Guys, thank you. We will see you next time.
Peace.
Adios.